This morning, we're going to look at this guy right here, Moses. We're going to look at the burning bush. We're going to look at his interaction with Yahweh, okay? We're going to talk about the name of Yahweh, the personal name of God this morning. It's been a fruitful week for me studying and being in this, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. So let's imagine for a moment, you're born under the sentence of death. Your people are enslaved and oppressed, and the government has just made your birth illegal. You're hidden for months, placed in a basket, and set afloat on the Nile River, headed towards what looks like certain death. But instead of drowning, you're discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, rescued, adopted, and raised in a palace, educated in the wisdom of Egypt, groomed in the halls of royalty, from a basket to a palace, from danger to privilege. Then one day, you see an injustice. An Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, you burst out in anger, you kill the Egyptian, and now everything changes. You're no longer favored, you're a fugitive. You flee Egypt, your identity, your calling, and you end up in the wilderness, far from the palace, far from privilege, far from your people, and you think maybe far from your purpose. And there you stay for 40 years. He spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh and then 40 years in the desert. And I'll tell you this, the wilderness that Moses went through was not a mistake. It wasn't wasted, it was preparation. When we were going through our preparation for Lent, we talked about this 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness before his public ministry, a time of preparation. And we set aside those 40 days ourselves to look at how God is preparing us for our call and our ministry and what God has for us. So today, this is kind of the end cap of our Lent time that we spent in those 40 days. And this is a call to follow God and a call to obedience and a call to fulfill your purpose, just as God called Moses to fulfill his. God was writing a bigger story than Moses could imagine. And I want to say to you, maybe you're in a wilderness right now. Maybe you feel like you're lost in a desert. Or maybe you feel like you're in the palace of Pharaoh. Maybe you feel like you're right where you're supposed to be. But if you feel like you're in the wilderness, I just want to encourage you with this. God is not wasting time with you. God is always preparing you, and God is always getting you ready to fulfill your calling in Christ Jesus. And so be ready. Don't think that because you're in a place of wilderness right now that God is not going to use you. He has great and awesome plans in your life. So this is Moses' story, but it's our story as well. Because the same Yahweh who called Moses from the fire is the one who calls us today. And maybe you're just needing a burning bush moment. Or maybe you just need a little push, a little calling, a little recognizing God's voice. So in this passage today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at four excuses that Moses makes. Moses makes four excuses as he's called by God, as he's called by Yahweh. And I just want to make a quick note on the word Yahweh and the Bible that I'm reading from this morning. I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. So in your Bible app, if you want to follow along, you know, the top left, click it, follow Legacy Standard Bible. I really like the Legacy Standard Bible. It's come out in the last couple years. It uses the name Yahweh where the name Yahweh is used. Not very many other modern Bible translations do this. And just a word on the name Yahweh. It is the personal covenant name of God revealed in the Old Testament. It was considered too holy to pronounce. So the ancient scribes would read aloud Adonai when they got to the word Yod, He, Vav, He, these four consonants. They would read Adonai. So later, Jewish scholars, trying to make it easier to read the Hebrew, were adding the vowels in to the consonants, and they added the vowels of Adonai to Yahweh, to the YHWH. And so they would remember when they were reading the scripture to read Adonai. Now, when this was Latinized, it came out Jehovah. So when we read Jehovah in your Bibles, this is the name Yahweh. A lot of the times in your modern translations, it'll be capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord. And when you see that, that's the name Yahweh. So I really like the Legacy Standard Bible. It's my favorite Bible to read from now because I get to see the covenant name that God gave to his people in its original form. Now, to be clear, we actually don't know. This is kind of, it's been so long, and because they pronounced Adonai for so long, we actually don't know what the name sounded like anymore. But our best guess and our hope is Yahweh. And so, let's talk about Yahweh. So Exodus chapter 3 in your Bibles. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock back to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, just a quick side note, Horeb, the mountain of God, is Mount Sinai, okay, in the lower Sinai Peninsula, Mount Sinai. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, and yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, like any of us would, I must turn aside now to see this marvelous sight. Why is this bush not burned up? And Yahweh saw that he turned aside. And so God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place which you are standing is holy ground. He also said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The point of this first section is that Yahweh is not a distant deity. He is the holy God who draws near and speaks to his people. Moses is tending sheep. He's living an ordinary life. Remember, 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. Now, 40 years in the wilderness. I'm only 46 years old, right? Yes, 46. I'll be 47 this summer. Old enough to forget how old I am. I can't imagine the 40 years before. They're probably all but a distant memory for him. He now is a shepherd in the lower Sinai Peninsula watching his sheep. And he sees the Lord. He sees the burning bush. And God calls him by name. He calls him to a personal relationship. The God of the universe knows Moses. And this same God, the God creator, the God that was a bush on fire without consuming it, is the same God that knows your name. Every single one of you. He knows you by name. He knows the works of your heart. He knows what you think about. He knows and he loves you still. Moses is told to remove his sandals, for he's on holy ground. And then God introduces himself to Moses. First off, Moses is like, hey, burning bush, don't know who this is. And then he says, I am Elohim. I'm God, the God of your fathers, Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then he knows. He knew of the Jews. He knew that he was a Jew. He knew that the people that were suffering under the hand of Pharaoh were Jews, and they were the followers. They were the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's introduced to God. I love this because it shows us that God still meets people in the ordinary and he calls them into the holy. I wonder if you feel like your life is ordinary this morning. I go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, rinse, repeat, over and over. Is your life ordinary? Maybe God is calling you into the holy this morning. He's calling you into your purpose. He's calling you into a life that serves him and is passionate for him. Let's listen to his voice as he calls us. A note about the holy ground here. You know, he says, don't come near. This is holy ground. This moment reveals a beautiful and powerful tension that we have in our relationship with God. First is this. On one hand, God is near. He speaks Moses' name. He initiates the conversation. He's the same God that will later dwell with his people in the Holy of Holies. He calls himself Father, and he is Christ who became flesh and dwelt among us. He's accessible, relational, approachable. You don't need a temple or a priest to talk to him. He calls us by name, even in the wilderness. And intention is this other hand, that God is holy. He's not common, not casual. He's a burning bush, pure, powerful, and unconsumed. And when you come near him, you remove your sandals, you humble yourself, you acknowledge that this ground is holy and sacred in the presence of God. It's a beautiful and wonderful tension. The command to remove the sandals reminds us that we never approach the throne of God with pride, never with presumption. In Christ, we approach boldly, with confidence, but with humility, knowing that holiness demands our reverence. It's an amazing God. So I encourage you to worship with intimacy with our Lord and walk before him with awe. He's a beautiful and wonderful Savior. All right, so in verse 7, and Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from a land, a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusites, all the ites. So now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. And so now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you shall bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. You know, just a funny side note on this. For some reason, the Bible, I was pulling up a Bible online to look at a certain translation, and a Spanish version pulled up next to it. And I saw one word in Spanish, and I knew the word. It was leche. And I was like, flowing with milk and honey. I couldn't read any of the other words, but I knew leche, mostly because of Trace Leche, one of my favorite desserts. That was a great side note. I thought you really needed to know that. Yeah. What do they call that when your inner thoughts... What do they call that? Intrusive thoughts. That's what it is, yeah. Just put them down. All right. Know this, the Yahweh is not indifferent. He hears the suffering, he heard the suffering, he knows the suffering of his people, and he steps in. This is one of the things that separates the one true God from all other false gods. He's engaged with his people. It's not something that happened in a story, you know, thousands and thousands, millions of years ago, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're here now. No, he's engaged. He's engaged with his people throughout Scripture, and he's engaged when he steps into Scripture. This is a beautiful time where you see God in the burning bush. You see this Yahweh, a Christophany, Jesus, speaking to his people, coming in and engaging. And then we see it when the Lord became flesh and dwelt among us, when he became the Savior of the world walking on the earth with us. He's engaged. And Moses says, first excuse, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you, that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. This is Horeb. This is Mount Sinai. And we know for a fact that he was back at Mount Sinai. I put this into my words, what I think it would have sounded like something if I was the one talking to God. And it was like this. God, I think you got the wrong guy. I'm just a washed up fugitive with a past. I've been tending sheep in the wilderness for 40 years. I'm nobody special. Why would Pharaoh ever listen to me? God commissions Moses to be an instrument of deliverance. I mean, this is a big deal. There's a multitude of like reactions he could have had, like, yes, and he's back home to Zipporah and talking to Jethro, like, God called me, I'm about to do some stuff, right? I mean, like, that could have literally been like, you know, hey, 10 toes down, stand on business, like, we're getting after this. But that's not what he does. He makes probably the excuse almost all of us would have made in this situation. You know, he didn't say, I struggle sometimes when I feel God is saying, hey, go to that person over there and share the gospel with them. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm still waiting for my coffee. Like, what if they call my name, you know? And we're talking like, go back to Pharaoh where you will probably die. And so he makes the excuse that most of us would have made, you know, I don't have the training, I'm not good at this, I'll mess it up, what if I say the wrong thing? He feels inadequate. That's his excuse. I'm inadequate. And God says, certainly, I will be with you. That's it. Like, enough of those excuses.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going with you. Like, the ultimate, like, wingman. The ultimate guy to be with you. Certainly I'll be with you. And know this, this is the truth that comes from that. Your calling is not based on your worth, but God's presence. Because God's presence makes your worth priceless. We sang the song, it's not my merit, but now it is because of what Jesus has done. So don't judge yourself in thinking you're unworthy or unable or inadequate. Certainly God is going with you. And then Exodus 3:13, then Moses said, I like this because he's kind of like, okay, let me recap to you, God, what you have just now said to me. He says, okay, so behold, I'm about to come to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? I put this in my words, if I was saying it, all right, let's say I go. What am I supposed to tell them when they ask who sent me? I don't even know your name. Why would they trust me if I can't explain who you are? Moses understood that this was about authority and that he had none. A shepherd in the wilderness for 40 years. Reminds me of another king, shepherd in the wilderness, who did mighty things for the Lord. And then God said to him, I like this because when we read this in the English, it kind of sounds like God is, like, I feel like Moses was being a bit sarcastic, and it sounds like God is being sarcastic back, but he's not. He says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. Like, we read that in the English, and like, what does that mean? Like, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name from generation to generation. That means this is the name that from generations past to generations in the future, this is the name that they should know me by. Which is why I think we should bring Yahweh back into our vernacular. I believe he says here, this is the name that they will remember me from generation to generation. It should be on our lips. So there's a lot to unpack here with the names. When I was a young believer, I was taught that Yahweh meant I am. And it's true, but not precise. So I want to go through this a little bit here. Allow me to geek out with you a little bit. For those of you who like language things and kind of getting beneath the soil a little bit, when God asked Moses, what is your name? He answers, I am who I am, which is these three Hebrew words, Eah, Asher, Eah. I am, Eah, Asher, who, and I am, Eah. But the Hebrew is much deeper than just I am who I am. It literally means I will be who I will be, or I am being who I am being. It's like, oh, that makes it much clearer. Yes, okay. It's not just a static title. Here's the idea in the Hebrew. It's an ever-present reality. God is saying, I'm self-existent. I define myself. I am not contingent on space, time, or circumstances. I don't change. I don't diminish. I don't depend on anything else. I am. It's kind of like the boldest statement. And if you made that statement, you would probably deserve to be slapped. But because it's God, because he's the creator, because he's the self-existent one, because he's the one from eternity past has been the only one, I am. It's kind of like, whoo. And this is the foundation of our faith. So there's no other God before me and there'll be no other God after me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. He's not a God who might be, but he's a God who is. Right now, fully, eternally, in the fire, in the wilderness, in the silence, he is. So, the name promises to Moses that I will be with you. He just said to him, certainly I will be with you. And then he says, my name is Eyah Asher Eyah and Yahweh. So these two words are connected, Eyah and Yahweh. They're connected by a root word. When I read it, I think, Hayah. But it's H-A-Y-A-H. It's probably something, I'm not great with the Hebrew, but like Hayah, right? But Hayah kind of gives the power back to it. So both Eyah and Yahweh are connected. When God says, Eyah Asher Eyah, I am who I am, he uses it in the first person form of Hayah. He's saying, I am. It's God speaking about himself. But then he tells Moses, tell the people, Yahweh has sent you. This is the third person form of the same verb. He is. So, same root, same meaning, different perspective. Eyah is God's voice declaring his self-existence and presence, and Yahweh is our voice declaring his faithfulness and eternality. So Moses' second excuse was, I have no authority. They're gonna say, who sent you? I'm gonna say, who is it? I don't know. And then God says, it's me, Yahweh. And so he's saying, my identity, Moses, is your authority. My identity is your authority. God's name reveals his eternal self-existent authority. So I go with you. My authority, my name is your authority. Then he says something that's really important at the end of it, where he says, this is my name forever, my memorial name from generation to generation. He says that because the people knew Yahweh by name. They knew the name Yahweh, but this is the first time that God kind of explains it. The beautiful thing that Moses gets to experience here. And he gets to share this with the people of Israel as he goes to set them free. And here's the gospel glory. In John 8:58, Jesus bridges the gap. He takes this divine name on his lips when they're asking him like, hey, do you think you're greater than the Father, than Abraham? Do you think you're greater? Who are you to speak these things? And he says, before Abraham was Eyah, I am. We read it in the Greek, and it reads ego ami. Now there's this thing, I'm still geeking out a little bit. There's this thing called the Septuagint, right? The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. You'll probably never read it, right? There's no need to. But the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in this verse in Exodus chapter 3, those are the words used when he says, you know, who do I tell him that you are? And he uses the words ego ami. Some people will say that Jesus is not God. This is the clearest version of Jesus saying, I am God. Before Abraham was Eyah. He is saying, I am him. I am. And the Jews understood this claim and they tried to stone him. They literally like ripped their clothes, picked up the rocks, and they were ready to kill him. He just called himself God. They were infuriated. But if they'd have been paying attention the whole time that Jesus was teaching, they would have noticed something really kind of sweet going on. I think it was kind of under the radar for those whose eyes were blind. But 7 times in the Gospel of John, he uses that term, I am. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. These statements reveal Jesus as Yahweh. And they reveal into the character of Yahweh even more than we knew in the Old Testament. To know Jesus is to know Yahweh. And this is the cool part, is he is both transcendent and near. He's both just out of reach and out of, like, I just can't even fathom his greatness and glory. And then he's right here. He sends his spirit to live inside of us. What a beautiful, beautiful God we follow. And then Moses gives another excuse. We're going to jump to Exodus chapter 4. The rest of chapter 3 is God giving Moses the speeches that he's going to give to the Israelites and to Pharaoh. So we're in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then Moses answered and says, what if they will not believe me? And they will not listen to my voice, for they may say, Yahweh has not appeared to you. So in my words, this is God, let's be honest. They're not going to believe me. They'll think I made the whole thing up. I have no proof you appeared to me. Why would anyone take my word for it? So it's credibility. His excuse is credibility. And God says, all right, what's in your hand? It's a staff. Throw it on the ground. Snake. Pick it up by the tail. Staff. He says, take your hand, put your hand into your coat, leprous. Put it back to normal. He says, if they don't believe those two things, which are pretty amazing things, go down to the Nile, grab some water out of the Nile and pour it on the ground, and it will be blood. So he gives them miracles and signs. He gives them divine validation. He says, I have no credibility, and God says, I will provide what is needed for belief. Things have not changed. Watch, leprous hand. No, I'm just kidding. Instead of a staff, instead of a gross hand comes out of your cloak, and instead of blood from the Nile, we have the word of God. We have the divine validation. That thing that you hold in your hand or you look at on your phone, this is God's word. So we go and we speak his word. His words are the divine validation. We don't need miracles. We need the word of God. But we need people to speak the words of God. And he gives one more excuse. Then Moses said to Yahweh, please, Lord, I have never been a man of words, neither recently nor in the past, nor since you have spoken to your slave. For I am one with a hard mouth and a hard tongue. So in my words, I said, God, I'm not good with words. I never have been. I get nervous. I stutter. I don't speak with confidence. You need someone who can communicate clearly and persuasively. I'm just not that guy. And Yahweh said to him, Moses gets a Job moment here. It's really cool. He's like, who has made man's mouth? And who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? So now go, and even I will be with your mouth and will instruct you what you shall speak. Moses says, I don't have the ability. And God says, I'll be your mouth. God doesn't need natural talent. God's not looking for the most persuasive speakers in the world. Honestly, most of the most persuasive speakers in the world are speaking for themselves. He gives supernatural help. So don't be afraid to speak the words of Jesus. Speak them and he will give you the help that you need. Now, I don't want this to be misunderstood like, hey, you just believe in Jesus and then like never read your Bible, never study your Bible, never do that. Just God's going to be with you. He's going to give you the words to say. No, part of how God gives you the words to say is you knowing the scriptures inside and out, pouring through them and diving into them and just latching on and chewing and devouring God's word. That's what he wants. That's what you should want. That's what you should be crying out for. And when you do that, God is going to use all the things that you've brought into your brain. He will recall those things, even though you don't even remember reading them. They will still come up as you share the truth. So we'll finish with this. Moses had a list of excuses, and maybe you do too. Maybe you feel inadequate, underqualified, unseen. Maybe you're unwilling. But here's the truth. And this truth shouts from the burning bush to the empty tomb. When God calls you, he equips you. When he sends you, he goes with you. And when he asks for obedience, he provides everything you need for your journey. He didn't choose Moses because he was polished or persuasive. He chose Moses because he's God. And that's enough. He says, I'll be with you. And that promise has not changed. You don't have to be the strongest, the smartest, or the most spiritual. You just have to surrender. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for willing followers. And if Yahweh could use a shepherd with a staff and a speech impediment to free the people of Israel, I'm pretty sure he can use you. I'm pretty sure he can use you to accomplish small and mighty things. This is something kind of cool, is that Moses spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh learning to lead, and then 40 years in the desert, and then 40 years leading in the desert. If you think that your life to this point is just a group of accidental bumpings and movings, you couldn't be more wrong. Every moment of your life has been preparing you for the moments that you're about to go through. And so, have your heart soft to the calling of God. You know, the church in America today, that 20-80 rule is a real thing, right? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And there are ministries and opportunities for every believer in Christ to be involved in the body of Christ. So I challenge you and encourage you. If you are not fulfilling God's calling in your life, if you are not fulfilling a ministry in some way, soften your heart, humble your heart, and ask God to show you what it is. Like Paul's words to Timothy, I keep repeating this because it's etched in my heart. Fan the flame of the gift of God that he has given you. What is the gift that God has given you, and how are you to use it for the kingdom of God? 40 years, 40 years, and 40 years. He's preparing you for something great. Let's pray. Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, creator of the universe. Lord, you are the one who stepped into nothing and made something. You made this beautiful earth that we get to walk upon, that we get to enjoy. And Lord, you gave us so much history and so much depth to know you. Thank you for revealing yourself through time, through scripture, to people like Moses, who though reluctant, still followed. Lord, we pray that you would break down our reluctancy this morning. You would break down the lies that the devil teaches and the devil shares about inadequacy, and that we don't have credibility, and that we don't have, you know, the way to show the authority of God. Lord, those are lies, and we cast them out, Lord. We just ask that you cast those from our own brains, Lord, take them away from us, and help us to see that you are Yahweh and you are before us. Lord, you are the Lord that is leading us to a great and beautiful place to share the truths of Jesus, the I Am, Yahweh in the flesh. Lord, help us as a body of believers, as a community. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to find our mission, to find our drive, and Lord, to give everything that we have to following you. Lord, may we not sit and watch the world go by us. May we not waste our time with the things of this world. Lord, help us to stop watching TV for hours every night. Help us to get off our phones and stop doom scrolling. Lord, help us to find purpose in Jesus and purpose in your word. Lord, your word is everything. Let it be something that we have a hunger for, God. Give us a passion for you. Give us a hunger for you. Lord, every single one of us, that we would devour your word, that would be the sustenance that we take into our bodies. God, we love you. Help us to cherish you. And Lord, if anyone here this morning doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day that they say, I'm tired of living for myself. It's over, God. I'm following you now. I know that you died for my sins. I know that you died for my sins and that you love me. And I repent. I turn from my sin and I follow you. Lord, we pray that if anyone here this morning doesn't know you, that they would make that their prayer today. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for knowing our name and calling us out of the wilderness into a great and beautiful life. In your name, amen.